Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Remote workers could soon be monitored by their employers using technology that logs the number of mouse clicks and keyboard strokes per minute. It sounds terrifying, and concerns have been raised by the Irish Congress of Trade Unions about invasive technologies like these and the risk of privacy breaches. We're going to take a closer look at this now, and I'm joined on the line by Laura Bambrick, who's Head of Social Policy and Employment Affairs at the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, Maeve McElwee, Director of Employer Relations with IBEC, and also Richard Grogan, Employment Law Solicitor at Richard Grogan and Associates. Laura, first to you. This sort of technology, it's not new, because there has been a trend in this direction in recent years.
That's it, Claire. So over recent years, we've seen a real boom in the use of artificial intelligence by employers in helping them decide who they're going to hire, who they're going to promote, who they're going to fire, and who they're going to put into retirement. But with the massive shift to remote working, its use in worker management has really come centre stage. Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing in this type of technology that facilitates employers to watch over remote workers is it does things, as you said, it helps them measure the workers' keyboard and mouse usage, web browsing activity, and to take screenshots every few minutes. But we're also seeing what's commonplace are informal practices, such as requiring the laptop camera and the microphone to be left on, so there can be spontaneous check-ins by supervisors.
And Maeve, you would agree, I would imagine, and assert that the employer has a right to monitor what their staff are doing to a certain point, but it's where you draw the line that's problematic.
In fact, Claire, I'd go as far as to say under the legislation, it's the employer's responsibility to prove compliance with working time regulations. And that's fair and reasonable. In terms of monitoring people at work, of course, it must be proportionate. And we would say that for lots of people, particularly in this remote working context, a lot of that work is knowledge-based work. It's based on trust, but it needs to be managed well on the basis of output, actually. Are people meeting the objectives that you've set for them, as opposed to how much time they've actually spent in front of a keyboard, for instance? So there is good balance, and we have been calling as well in our own submissions on this issue for further guidance for employers to help them manage that balance between their obligations under the law and people's absolute right to privacy in their own homes.
And Laura, do you agree with that, that there's a responsibility on employers to make sure that the regulations and their responsibilities are being adhered to, so that the employee is not working more hours than they should be?
Absolutely, Claire. So this was an issue that was raised when we were drafting the guidance on the right to disconnect. So as Maeve pointed out there, that there is in law the responsibility primarily lies with the employer to ensure that workers are taking their legally required rest periods and breaks, and they're not working over hours. But there was, while we were having those discussions, there was, as Maeve said again, there is a requirement for clear guidance from government around how we strike that balance, how employers can meet their legal obligations, but it doesn't come at the cost of workers' legal right to privacy in the workplace.
And that is the boundary. And where is the line, Richard Grogan, right now? Where do employers stand? How far can they go when they're monitoring their employees?
Well, the issue in relation to working time records, they are a legal obligation on the employer to maintain those. Now, that doesn't actually need AI supervision. That can be done with a pen and paper or somebody sending in an email at the end of the day setting out their start time, their finishing time, and the breaks that they got. The issue that we have is coming through really with the new regulations that are coming out of the EU, and they're going to trump, because they're directly effective, any Irish legislation. And the issue that's coming up here is that they're regarded as, this AI is regarded as high risk as regards rights. But the issue that is the one that is concerning people, employment lawyers, whether acting for employers or employees, is that issue that the assessment is being put down at a low level. So there is this issue that's coming up that employers want to know that people want to work and are working, and the issue there is that some of this is becoming very intrusive, and the real issue is to the extent to which it is covert. So I think it is one of these ones that has to be very open. The difficulty on it is that the employer normally is in a position that if you're not going to accept this, you're not going to get remote working. So it's there's a fine balance there. And the government, to be honest with you, have been sitting on their hands as regards how this is going to work and bringing out the rules and the regulations, which will affect ICTU and IBEC and the Employment Law Solicitors, so we know where we stand. And at the present time, nobody knows where we stand.
I'm just interested in what you say about being covert as opposed to being open. So if an employer says to an employee, can you just make sure your camera is on there on your laptop throughout the day as you're working? If they openly say that, make that request to me, does that mean that it's all OK, above board and legal?
Not necessarily. That's the difficulty, because we haven't got any rules and regulations on it. The real difficulty with this is that the AI systems that are being sold at the moment, and the IT industry is working overtime on this, is they're producing effectively covert surveillance that's automatically going into the system. And this is where the real problem is, and it's a problem for employers and employees, because sometimes now the IT that you're getting actually has this in it, even when the employer doesn't know that it's there.
So it's the employer doesn't know that it's there.
Sometimes, yeah, I mean, a lot of the systems that are coming in now are actually ones that employers either don't really understand that they're there, or they're not operating correctly, and effectively the new EU regulations have put in a provision that where there's oversight on these, effectively the person oversighting them can actually disregard them. So it's a real problem that this AI is sneaking in automatically.
Yeah, but Laura, that's no defence for an employer now. Sure, I didn't know that that facility was on the laptop.
Absolutely not. If employers are collecting any sort of data, whether it's for monitoring or anything else, they have to be upfront and clear in their ICT policy what that information is being used for, who's going to see it and who has access to it, and how long it's going to be kept. So that I didn't realise, Your Honour, is not going to stand in anybody's defence.
And what would you say to employees who are asked or who are told by their employers that, you know, we expect you to have the camera and the microphone on while you're working?
Well, the real difficulty is where we are seeing this happening is in non-unionised workforces. And it's really, it's getting that message across, very similar like the right to disconnect. There has to be public awareness raising around people's rights and employers' responsibilities as well. So it is bringing in regulations, but there's a lot to be done around around making people aware of when they have the right to say no.
So, Mae, from an employer's point of view, this all sounds very tricky, very complicated, very legally difficult. You'd maybe rather have the workers back in the office.
It is undoubtedly very complex. I'm not sure that it's as simple as saying we'd rather have the workers back in the office. Long before COVID hit and everybody was remote working where they could, we did see an increasing trend of people looking for flexibility, and employers seeing that as a real opportunity to be able to attract and retain key talent across the board. So I think we would have seen people move remotely. Without a doubt, where the obligations are to record that working time, it's really important that it's done. It is challenging for us that we don't have any clear guidance. The challenges that Laura has identified around the right to disconnect are also key for employers too. It's how to weigh up that balance of, you know, if we are allowing flexible working, it's obviously a very often the case that it's other people's lifestyle choices, maybe family commitments, and they want to flex around standard working time. So again, for employers, challenging to be able to manage what people are doing. But I would say, you know, obviously covert recording of how people are working is not appropriate in any circumstances. And I would also say to things like cameras being required to be left on all day. Even in an office environment, you wouldn't expect anybody to be watching your every movement all day. That's excessive. So, you know, we do have to be able to find a reasonable balance with employees and employers working together to be able to meet the obligations of the working time and recording people's working time. But it does have to be proportionate and sensible.
Yeah, Richard, I have a message here which says the fact remains that a certain core of staff need to be monitored. Some would take prolonged breaks on personal mobile phones and the internet. I don't think any employer signed up for that. But not all work consists of being on the computer all day. So that's the balance that has to be struck. If you're paying somebody, you expect them to be doing the job that they're being paid to do, even if they are at home.
Yeah, but look, we all accept that, and everybody accepts that. The difficulty that we have here is it comes back down to regulation, and I know everybody hates regulation, but we don't even have guidance, and this is the real problem that's coming up, and it's going to end up in unnecessary litigation and cases going down to the Circuit Court under the Data Protection Act and down to the WRC, which nobody wants, neither unions or employers or employment law solicitors. We don't want that. What we want is something that actually allows it. And by the way, yes, there is always going to be people that an employer says, look, I really need to be able to monitor those people. But that then is putting in place appropriate procedures. But by the way, those appropriate procedures, you can't just pick out one person and say, I'm going to be monitoring you. They have to be across the board.
We have to leave it there. Richard, thank you very much indeed. That's Richard Grogan, Maeve McElwee from IBEC and Laura Bambrick from ICTU. Now, we're going to go to the newsroom in a moment. We'll give you time to take the laptop apart and see what's switched on or not while we go to Brian Jennings in the newsroom.